From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. First of all, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Hope you had an enjoyable moment. Tonight, who's behind the secret door? Four special guests beginning this hour. I've no idea who they are. And then we're going to take your phone calls at the half hour with the guest each hour tonight so you can participate with me. Maybe you can guess who they are, too. Here's what's happening. Two people have been killed, four others injured in a shooting in a park in Louisville, Kentucky. Jeez, during a youth football game. Happy Thanksgiving there. Apparently, four other victims were taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Police are looking for possible suspects there. Police have arrested a man who is believed to have doused two self-serve food bars with chemicals that caused multiple cases of apparent food poisoning at a South Lake Tahoe shopping mall. Officials say a 43-year-old man arrested after police searched his home, finding items that are believed to be related to the investigation. A suicide truck bomb killed about 100 people, most of them Iranian Shiite pilgrims, at a gasoline station in the city of Hilla, 100 miles south of Baghdad. The Islamic State claims responsibility for it. Americans across the country are gearing up for what looks like to be a very active holiday shopping season in years. That's good for retailers. And there's reason to believe that this Black Friday, which is Friday tomorrow, could offer signs that consumers are ready to put the economy on its shoulders again. Well, let's hope so. But let's check in with registered investment advisor Catherine Austin Fitz. Catherine, what do you think? What's your gut tell you about this week?
It's interesting, George, because consumer, with the election over, consumer confidence has dramatically risen, and Americans are expected to spend an average of $935 per person on Christmas. So it sounds like people are in a better mood. It was interesting. Bloomberg had a very funny article. They said, are they happy that Trump won, or are they just glad it's over?
Yeah, I think everybody's relieved, and we're just anticipating, hey, what's this guy going to do?
Yeah, but I don't know why I think this is going to be a reasonably good Christmas. Of course, today is Black Friday now where I am. It'll be Black Friday there soon, and we'll see. I think Black Friday will give us an indication of how this Christmas season is going to go for consumers.
Well, this season is critically important to retailers who have been getting bombarded by internet companies these days, like Amazon and companies like that. So let's hope that people go to the malls and go to the stores and, spend their money.
Yeah.
All right, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was very quiet and very wonderful. And I was in Europe for 3 weeks. So
that's what I heard.
I'm back in Tennessee. It's great to be home.
Good. We can harass you again. Thanks, Catherine. Have a good one. Catherine Austin Fitz. You know, they say that the Antarctic and the Arctic ice shelves are shrinking, right? Well, listen to this story. Antarctic ice, that's down in the South Pole, has barely changed from where it was 100 years ago, according to scientists, after poring over the logbooks of great polar explorers such as Robert Falcon Scott and Ernest Shackleton. Experts were concerned that the ice at the South Pole had declined significantly since the 1950s. That is not the case. As we reported yesterday, a mega earthquake on the San Andreas Fault in California could damage 3 million homes and cost $289 billion in reconstruction, according to a study. There seems to be a lot of talk these days about a West Coast earthquake. So I thought we'd bring in Cal Ory, the author of The Man Who Predicts Earthquakes, about the late Jim Berkland. Cal, why all this talk about this? This is getting a little edgy.
Well, California hasn't been shaking, but I read an article on your page just a minute ago, and it said, chill, nobody can predict the Japan quake, but I did it.
You did it?
A week ago, yeah, on my website, Earthquake Epicenter Forum.com. Yeah, on the 13th, I noted that the supermoon, the 14th, Jim Berkland, geologist, he taught me everything I know. I kind of followed his method and thought, okay, we're going to have a major quake. I predicted a 7.0 could follow in the Ring of Fire. It'll be shallow, a tsunami, and I gave it 75% odds of it happening between November 13th and November 21st. Guess what? The 21st headline read, red tsunami warning after quake off Fukushima in Japan, the same place, March 2011, which I also predicted along with other people. The tsunami, they feared that it was going to be 9-10 feet, but it only panned out to be 1 to 3.
Well, and they say that it was an aftershock from 2011. Can that be?
Certainly it can be. But also, I don't think we're going to see anything greater there, but I do sense it wouldn't shock anybody, no pun intended, that we see an 8.0, a great
quake. Wow. Now back to California. Why all this speculation about something big here?
Pacific Ring of Fire is going crazy. The last time you had me on a couple weeks ago, we had New Zealand.
Yes.
That's in the Ring of Fire. Then this morning, we wake up to headlines. Did you see that one with the Mexico quake?
Mm-hmm.
You saw that. That's in the Ring of Fire. We're getting closer to California. So you've had experts on before. We all agree that, this trigger effect, the Ring of Fire is hot. We're in Sagittarius. We're coming into more holidays. Remember the 2004 quake on December 26th, Boxing Day, the Indian Ocean quake. There's this visionary that Clarissa Bernhardt, she reads for Shirley MacLaine. She had taught me that earthquakes, big ones, often happen during big holidays. I kind of believe that in a way. I mean, I got that today. I predicted the one. I said that we would have another major quake on Thanksgiving, which we did. It wasn't in California, but it was on the West Coast. There was a Pacific tsunami, tsunami alert, but it didn't pan out, thank God. But still, it could migrate up to California. So are we going to have it before the year's over? I'm going to say 50-50.
Ooh,
I think
wow.
We're getting close.
Those are high odds, Cal. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving, which is just about over, but you still have your Friday, by the way. Okay, you know I love supplements. I think they're important, that we need to take them. But here's a study, a negative study out, saying that vitamin D supplements do not help prevent disease for the majority of people, according to a new study published in the British Medical Journal. And during the bleak winter months of short days and cloudy skies where people don't get the benefit of sunshine, which is really what really is a precursor of vitamin D, they simply say the supplements don't work that much. I'll still keep taking mine. Up next, who's our first person behind the secret door? Let's find out in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to our Thanksgiving night show on Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, or perhaps you had to work. But I'm glad you're here with us right now. What we're going to do over the next 4 hours is have four separate guests. Who's behind the secret door? We do this a couple times a year. I have no idea who they are. I've got to guess from some clues and questions and maybe pick up their voice. A lot of them change their voice. And then I either get it or I don't. But we'll find out soon enough who the guest is, of course, when I concede or whatever. And generally, I've been a little better than 50% in guessing who the guests are. And we're going to take your phone calls at the half of each hour as well, too. So with four guests, we'll be going to the phones four times tonight, gearing in on what that specific guest is all about. So let's open up our first door and let in guest number one. Hello there.
I write about and talk about different subjects, but they take place under the Antarctic, and they're always larger than life.
Man, you son. Let me. I get three questions before I have to guess who you are. Are you Irish?
It's a pretty bad impression, but you might go there.
This is. Let me ask you about this. Do you come on the program a lot with me?
Quite a bit.
All right. I got that one right, too. Are you a conspiracy buff?
No, I'm more of ancient history.
Okay. I think you are one of two people. I'm not guessing yet, but I'm going to mention the two people. I think you're either William Henry or Stephen Quayle, and I am going to guess you're Stephen Quayle.
I've never been good at
that. Ah, got it.
You got it.
Stephen, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving. How's your family? Everybody
happy
well?
Happy Thanksgiving. Everyone's well. And again, thanks for the opportunity to come on. I was telling Lisa, I don't do good impressions.
It wasn't bad.
We'll call it good. But listen, we're excited, George, because, you know, Antarctica is in the news now. So much is going on. People are wondering, why are the most powerful religious and political figures going down to Antarctica? And, you know, the History Channel's got a great series out called Hunting Hitler. And what we're finding in our research is that it's going to come into the most, I would say, the theater of understanding like there's no tomorrow. Antarctica is so hidden in mystery, and it's been kept not only shrouded in ice, but when you see the world's leaders going down there, you know that they're meeting with someone. And most people don't know that in 1947, we, the United States, went to war with the leftover Nazis who formed a new country called New Schwabenland. And then due to their advanced aerial technology, i.e. flying saucers, etc., Admiral Byrd's Hollow Earth, you know, we found out little vignettes of what really goes on in the Antarctic. So I think it's fascinating because I wrote the book Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II, and people challenged the title, but now they can't challenge the headline. So I think that's really important for people to understand that you don't go down there and put a 35-year moratorium by the world, if you will, the elite globalists, and try to keep everybody else unless there's something they're very worried about getting out. And I can tell you this, through cutouts, that's people that talk to me, not directly but indirectly, in order to protect their identity. They're talking about so much movement behind giant doors. And giant doors are 30 feet tall giant doors. Now, we just got back from the desert southwest, Tom Horn and I, and our film teams, Timothy Alberino, and we were down there filming our True Legend series, the third episode, and we were dealing with some of the most amazing Native American elders. And one of the Nzuni elders that we dealt with went into great detail about how they have a giant society, and obviously this will be in our new documentary, but they literally meet at specific times, George, and open the gates, and the entities come through the gates and give them a heads up on what's going to go on in the world. Now, you cannot deal with the desert southwest. Everybody who looks at Mesa Verde and some of the places like Crow Canyon and all the, if you will, the Pueblo dwellings, and that stuff all takes place around 1100 AD when they started there. But the point is the history of giants in that region and the giant buildings, and even to the way of modifying rock structures. And we take it back 2000 BC. So most people would find it pretty interesting to know that the Egyptians and the genetic makeup of Egyptians shows up in some of both the Navajo and Apache blood, and that John Wesley Powell and others that had the early exploration desert southwest couldn't explain some of the names that were handed down, not from hundreds of years or even a single millennia, but pre, 2,000 years old. So the Antarctic is going to come big time into the public consciousness, and we've got a pretty amazing tour going, George, True Legends. We're doing an expedition and a conference tour that I'm excited about. I'm going to be on it, too. It's limited to 20 people. We're taking people down to the giant cyclopean architecture in Cusco, Peru, and we're going to have Anselm P. Rambla, who's one of the most famous archaeologists. Literally, guy looks like he's he would tie for the most interesting man in the world. This is on our website, TrueLegendsOfSeries.com. But people have said, can we go and see this stuff with you guys? And so Tim Alberino will be one of the speakers. Anselm B. Rambla will be one. And we're meeting in Cusco, Peru. And if people are interested in that, they can go on TrueLegendsOfSeries.com, because it's going to become more telling and compelling, the place of South America, that the place that South America actually is a key to understanding the desert southwest and understanding the pyramids around the world. You know, most people still don't understand there was a supercontinent called Pangaea before the continents divided in the great flood of Noah. But most people don't, some don't accept the fact that there was a worldwide flood. And when I tell them, well, why don't we deal with the flood that happened before the flood of Noah, called Jeremiah's flood, which resulted in God's judgment on an angelic culture that was over the whole earth. The fact is that it, when you go to Peru and talk to the elders, you go to Sardinia and talk to the people that were digging up complete skeletons of giants and mummies, and then you find out that all over the world the cover-up is the same, that, if you will, the men in black, or in our case we're finding the men in robes, show up and take the artifacts, take the gold, and basically either swear people to secrecy or destroy them. So, you know, the thing that's fascinating is, I believe True Legends of Ceres and our second DVD called The Unholy Sea has been acclaimed worldwide. I think we're in 70 countries
now. That's fantastic.
To accommodate people all over the world. We put it on Vimeo so they can download it, don't have to mess with postage or pay, you know, horrific postage. So I got so many things going on. Stephanie, my daughter, she just came out with a great new song.
Oh, I saw that on YouTube. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really a great song, and I'd encourage everybody to go and listen to, you know, Drinking with Dolly. It's about having a Coke with Dolly Parton. Yeah, StephanieQuayle.com. And over the years, you know, it's been fun as a dad to watch her progress. And so when she, you know, sent me a text message and a photo showing Dolly, you know, liking the song, and it's about she and Dolly. I mean, you know, it's pretty fun.
That's cool.
And the people that enjoy her music, you know, thought it was pretty neat. And so I'm excited, and I look forward to the day that Stephanie gets to sing with Dolly Parton.
She will. She's got a great career ahead of her, Stephen. Hey, so my daughter's fiance was over for Thanksgiving earlier today and was just obsessed with your story of giants. I mean, he's Canadian, and he's just picking up on that story, and he's just nuts about it. So I told him, you know what? I'm going to get some more research, and coincidentally enough, here you are. So let me ask you a few more questions about
sure.
that. Let's go back. Now, this was a story that broke where? Out of Afghanistan?
Yes, sir. The giant that was basically taken, flown out of Bagram, but he was helicoptered into Bagram. We're talking about a 12-foot giant that had basically pretty much destroyed an advanced team that was going into all of the different caves in the mountains of Afghanistan and basically looking for the Taliban. This giant is basically the first time in contemporary history that literally dozens and dozens of witnesses, and by the way, you had the actual pilot on your show.
Yes, we did.
I don't know, 5-7 years ago. But anyway, the thing is that he flew the carcass of the dead giant out, covered on a tarp. They estimated the weight at 12 to 1,500 feet. Not 12 to 1,500 feet. Some people, you know, 10 feet. He himself said, look, he was in a fetal position, and the thing weighed close to 12 to 1,500 pounds because they know the pallet weight. So the fascinating thing was all cameras were taken off, camera phones were taken off, and the boys in gray khakis showed up, and they babysat this giant who had killed an entire five-man team, and then they had to send in some specialists who finally were able to kill the giant. But what was astonishing, when I interview people about giants, there are certain things I don't say, and I want to be able to hear from them the certain things that they identify about the
right.
giant. And the guy passed the litmus test because, again, that's the only way you can prevent a feedback loop from occurring.
That's right. It's a great police tactic, too, Steve, that,
yes,
you know, if they're interviewing somebody that may or may not be involved in a situation, if they can reveal some information that only the cops know, then they know they're onto something like this. Now, in this particular case, was the giants themselves, are they what the Bible had referred to as the Nephilim?
Well, the Nephilim, there's two words, and, you know, I'm kind of the guy that Nephilim, the word is translated giants twice in Genesis chapter 6 and Numbers 13:33. Interestingly enough, once before the flood and after the flood. But the word that's used for the giants is Rephaim, R-E-P-H-A-I-M. And the giants were the descendants of the fallen angels who had sex with earth women. For the record, the fallen angels were able to adapt the size they needed to have sex with Earth women. There are cases in history, especially in South America, where the giants tried to, rape the normal human women, and they destroyed them to such a point that in the jungles of Peru, in the cloud people, they were talking about when God sent his fiery angels. These are not, quote, Middle Eastern or anyone that's associated with a Old Testament or New Testament understanding.
Hold on for a second, Stephen. We're at the half. We'll come back, talk more about this, and we'll take phone calls. Stephen Quayle, our first Secret Door guest. Well, this night, Florence Henderson, actress, 82 years old, the mother in the television series The Brady Bunch, has died. Florence Henderson, dead at the age of 82. We're going to come back with Steve Quayle in just a moment and take your phone calls. He's our first guest behind the secret door. And welcome back, our Thanksgiving show. George Norrie with you, who's behind the secret door. And our first guest is Stephen Quayle. And I got it right, so I'm 1 for 4 so far. So 1 for 1, actually. There's 4 more to go. I hope I'm not 1 for 4. And we're going to get your calls as well. But, Stephen, let's finish up talking about the Giants, which is an amazing story. Now, what happened to the bones once they captured and killed off that giant? What did they do with it?
It wasn't just the bones. It was his entire body. The rumors that passed within the military pilots was that it was flown to a C-5 Galaxy, picked it up, and it was taken to, I think, Ramstein Air Force Base. And from there, lovely, it showed up in Wright-Patterson. Wright-Patterson's interesting because the underground facilities there equal or surpass even Area 51.
So, wow.
All roads and that thing led. And by the way, the Antarctic, again, is critical because a certain military general got a message to a friend of mine who said that they are monitoring activity, meaning something is very big and very much alive. And, George, this is what you always ask me about prophecy,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing that Tom Horn and I are writing about and doing all this investigation isn't that these guys live once, but they're coming back. And the DNA, the reason this is covered up by the Smithsonian and by the U.S. military, the FBI, the Men in Black, is imagine extracting that DNA. And when I first proposed that, when you and I first started doing talk radio, people thought I was, over the edge or, probably over multiple edges. But now everything we're seeing is genetic enhancement, genetic manipulation, the CRISPR technology, and you probably saw the story, but the Chinese are talking about an army of 200 million men who are super soldiers. Super soldiers meaning they would have all enhanced capability,
kind of like
superheroes. And, nowadays, that's almost like a headline, even on the front of Drudge. So, and many times it is on the front of Matt Drudge. So the idea that the Giants are in a form of stasis or suspended animation, the fact that we're actively monitoring them, the fact, and by the way, when you're dealing with giants, this was told to me by spec operations guys, they don't call it a group of giants. They call it a hive. And what's interesting about that, a hive is where you've got a colony and they all collectively think together. It's kind of like what the New World Order and globalists are trying to turn us into by way of the Borg.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so grateful that Donald Trump, remember when we were on a car, I think it was on 2 times ago, and you asked me if it was an endorsement of Trump, and
right,
I said, absolutely,
right.
I think the guy, everybody who hates him are the guys we hate, so I'm glad to say that I believe that Trump is a breather for this nation, and obviously breather, look, here's the deal, this is the thing I'll say about this really quick, we saw a time, and because I live in this world, my bloodshot eyes would prove it, but we live in a world where things were getting so tense between Russia and the United States that, you heard Vladimir Putin say, had a certain woman got the presidency, they would be at war with us, and that wasn't bluffing. There was more challenges in the air, in the sea, more missiles fired, more systems tested. And when you've got two men who respect each other and both are I would say highly intelligent men saying, look, this doesn't have to go. I think people need to understand. I believe it was divine God intervention that kept us from nuclear war. But I believe what's happening in the Antarctic is critical. And I want to say something. The book I wrote on Antarctica came out before any of this stuff started to break. So I would tell people, if you want to know what's going to play out, that book, Empire Beneath the Ice, on my website, is critical. It's the book, George, that I've written that's gone worldwide with so many people signing in. After one of our shows that you did, having me on with you,
yeah.
I got a call from some guy whose great-great-grandfather, after Hitler fled both Argentina and Brazil, went into Peru, into what's the Peruvian underground citadel, and that's where we're going to be taking people to, into the area of the Coricancha, which is a vast underground tunnel system built by giants. I'm not talking about things you crawl through on your belly in the mud. I'm talking about huge to giant specifications, you know, 30 feet tall. Sometimes the Coricancha was vastly cavernous, but also it went all the way through South America. It went even under the ocean. And see, this is something that people just can't grasp, yet we now have, I believe, we have the, if you will, the world rulers in an underground citadel in the Antarctic, that the world's political and the world's religious figures are going to pay obeisance to. So, you know, they, people say, well, you can't say that. Well, I can tell you this. Not only am I saying it, but there are military guys saying it, and they're saying that they are, their term, pucker factor, is off the charts. That means they're all holding their breath and also holding their bowels because of what is absolutely stirring underground. So, if, by the way, if it is it your daughter's boyfriend?
Yes.
Yes. He can, if, you know, he can just give him my email, and I'll send him one of my books and the DVDs, because if he's fascinated in this, I don't think anybody's doing any place in the world more in-depth, you know, expedition photos. By the way, we put a lot of money into these DVDs, and people are saying, man, that's some of the best stuff that they've ever seen. So, you know, I would encourage people to get The Unholy Sea, and they can go on our TrueLegendsTheSeries.com website if they're interested in going on us the expedition. It's limited to 20 people, and it's 5-star because it's just mind-blowing. And by the way, you should come too.
If I could, I'd love to. Let's hit the phones. First-time caller, Greg in Arizona. Welcome to the show. Hey, Greg, you're on with Steve Coyle.
How you doing, George?
Good.
How you doing, Mr. Coyle?
Happy Thanksgiving, Greg.
Be able to talk to you. I was just thinking about this earlier today. Just so you know, real quick, I am a member of a true Church of God that that Christ started through the apostles. And because there is only one, he did not start many churches. But to get to the point, the fallen angels you referred to, the Nephilim were giants. That is correct. That's what it means. But fallen angels or angels cannot have sex with human beings. They did not have sex.
I disagree with you, and I'll tell you why.
Some did not, and that's.
Yep. You know, here's the thing. Jesus said in heaven they are neither given are taken in marriage, but are as the angels. The angels that went into Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed looked like normal human beings until the until, you know, obviously they took their sacrifice that Abraham had built for them and it was consumed. Your position, sir, is untenable from the scripture because, again, we're not talking about angels in heaven. They're called fallen angels, and we're talking about something that provides a dimension into the human genome that is a supernatural life force in addition to the human life force. And every single myth and legend worldwide, as I have studied for over 4 decades, researched for over that amount of time, talk about this, and so I get it. In heaven, they're not having sex. On earth, even the scriptures say the fallen angels can transform themselves into angels of light. They can take on human form. A giant is not a fallen angel. A demon is a disembodied spirit of the giants.
Could they have been extraterrestrial, the fallen ones?
Well, absolutely, and I think, you know, and let me define this. This is where I differ from the aliens created us crowd, okay? And obviously, we're at opposite ends of the universe on this one, or they're on one side of the black hole, and I'm on the side, I think, of the, hopefully, the light hole, in the right hole. But the thing is that extraterrestrials, if you mean something that is outside of Earth, absolutely. But the history, you see, contemporary Christianity takes it from 6,000 years forward, which I don't have any problems with. I understand the creation of Adam and Eve. But prior to the creation of Adam and Eve, and here's where, you know, you can have a total battle, that when in Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, in the beginning God created the heavens, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, that is a, if you will, a condition of judgment. Prior to that, there was an angelic civilization on Earth, and let's just go to them, you know, Lemuria, Mu, Atlantis, okay, Hyperborea, Thule, Shangri-La, Shambhala. These were all of the, if you will, the world's civilizations, and there's a thing called the Sumerian Table of Kings that goes back hundreds of thousands of years. But interestingly enough, George, in all of the stelae, or even the pictographs, petroglyphs, and bas-relief, you've seen them, the Sumerians. It shows like a giant king sitting on a throne and you know, little people. I'm not talking now little people in contemporary terms, but normal-sized men coming up to his kneecap as he sits on his throne. Well, how can those two worldviews be reconciled? And I believe that one of the things that is very clear is that when you understand the context of what's called catastrophism, where you're dealing with, you know, interplanetary war, it's what Zachariah Sitchin called gods, I think, well, wars of between gods and men. And for the record, we have Zachariah Sitchin's best friend in the interview in the Unholy See talking about, and this guy is a billionaire with a B, and talking about Zachariah talking to him the night the Anunnaki showed up in his bedroom and dictated a bunch of stuff. And then Sitchin's relationship with the Catholic Church hierarchy, and again, this isn't Catholic bashing, but this is basically just saying this, that the Jesuits changed their whole attitude to Zachariah Sitchin, where at one point he was anathema, or basically someone not to be touched, to embracing him and wholehearted welcoming him. And that takes us to Lucifer Telescope on Mount Graham.
That's right.
The name did everything, and Tom Horn did a marvelous expose on it. So now we've got basically the Apollyon rising. We've got Abaddon coming up, and that's the destroyer. We've got ceremonies on television and the CERN ceremony in Switzerland. And it's, guess what? It's not about technology. It's all about, you know, forbidden, if you will, fruit. It's about Satan worship, and we're seeing that in this country. And it's also about unloosing the things that have been bound in the earth. So we're seeing total, if you will, ritual magic being performed to bring forth the very things I'm telling you that even the military is saying. We're watching those. And again, I've got to share this with you. I know when these guys get concerned and worried, and it's how do I know it? Number one, I couldn't know unless they tell me. But I also know this. There are the things they know, the things they think they know, and then there are things they absolutely do not know. I'm shortening up, you know, what the famous statement of whatever his name was, a former Defense Secretary, but the point being is that the giants are coming back, and the gentleman that said that, you know, that angels don't have sex on Earth, that's just not true, because in Greek mythology, in Roman mythology, in Babylonian mythology, in Indian mythology, it's always about the heavenly beings having sex with Earth women. And I, you know, I've said this on your show. If you're talking aliens from other planets, the question is, when the fallen angels so infuriated God that he basically destroyed the Earth with water and destroyed every living thing, with the exception of obviously Noah and his family, that was to keep the bloodline of his creation through Adam and Eve alive. So when it says Noah was perfect in his generations in the Old Testament, so that argument is absolutely, I'm telling you this, in my opinion, the argument that angels do not have sex with earth women is crazy. What is Lucifer? He became Satan. People will say it's not the same. Jesus said it's the same. So, you know, I tell people, argue with he who watched, you know, Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Even Britney Spears' new music video has the devil figure with the lightning bolt on his face. So, you know, by the way, just a neat little bit of movie memorabilia. When Stanley Kubrick did his movie, Eyes Wide Shut.
And he died before he finished it.
Yeah, 5 days after he announced that it was going to be done, he was murdered. Now, again, they covered it up. Now, why are we seeing Kanye West? Why are we seeing all these meltdowns of superstars? And what is it that's going on in Hollywood? Well, I think what I'm just simply trying to say is this, that, you know, the supernatural interaction with human beings has always been there. God, because of his love for his creation, put boundaries. Now, all the boundaries that God had created are being absolutely violated, and the transhumanists and the trans species that are coming in. I mean, you know, people think that satyrs and chimeras and all that stuff are just a matter of mythology, yet I can tell you this, that the ancient Caesars collected not only the skeletons of those things, but the mummies of those things, the mummified remains. So, you know, we're in for not the ride of our life, but we're in for, I believe, a multidimensional shock that is going to absolutely cause men's hearts to fail them for fear of looking after those things coming upon the earth.
Let's go to Paul in Seattle, west of the Rockies. Paul, go ahead.
Wow, thanks for taking my call, George.
Sure
awesome
thing.
Show. I love you, Mr. Quayle. And I'd just like I want to ask you real quick about the portals, and what was the name of the Indian tribe that you and Mr. Horn visited? And also one thing, on those fallen angels, it doesn't say in the book of Enoch that the fallen angels are in chains and darkness until the time where God decides to judge them, and even when he does judge them, they're going to be...
I have an answer for you. It specifically talks about the first 200 fallen angels on Mount Hermon.
2 minutes left, Stephen, by the way. 2 minutes.
Pardon?
2 minutes left.
Okay. So basically, that's a specific group, but there were two falls of angels, okay, both before the flood and after the flood. David and Goliath. Goliath and his brothers were giants after the flood. King Og was a giant after the flood. So what we're seeing right now, George, is the reintroduction through genetic engineering of the, if you will, fallen angel DNA that has a different life force than human DNA, and the composite entities that are going to come on the scene are going to be what DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, is looking at, the super soldier. And this is why the Antarctica is so important, because even when Chris Carter did the X-Files, you know that obviously he had the component of the Antarctic down there. And so I got to tell people, and I'm saying this, in order to understand what's coming on the Earth, you're going to have to read, get a handle on the spiritual, physical realm of warfare that basically, if you will, fueled the Nazi war machine that even Dr. Wernher von Braun, who was the head of NASA, made the statement, or NASA made the statement that they had help from superior spiritual forces. So that's what we're up against. And the name of the book is Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II, and I still stand on that statement.
And real quickly, the name of the Indian tribe, Stephen?
We dealt with the Pueblos, and we dealt specifically with the Zunis, and the Zunis are the most interesting tribe, in my opinion, in that area. By the way, we noticed the intertribal, when I say warfare and contempt for each other out of their own areas, was astonishing. So we will have our interview with the Zuni, we'll have our interviews, plural, with all of these different men in our third episode of True Legends of Series. Again, truelegendsofseries.com if people want to go on this expedition. It's limited to 20 people. It's a 5-star. And seriously, George, if you would come, I think it'll blow your
mind. Yeah, let's keep in touch on that. Steve's website, stevequayle.com. It'll all be linked up at coasttocoastam.com. So he was our first Secret Door guest. I got it right. We have another one coming up next.